Elijah, are you ready to bring on the weird?
Yeah. How about you, buddy?
Yes, I am. The rock fenders can see that I'm in a bit more of a cave situation.
Yeah, I'm lit up like a prisoner trying to escape jail. They got the lights on me.
You can't find me.
I gotta turn this shit off.
No, you really can't see
me. Too much.
All of these visual effects will definitely be in the audio only version, right? No.
You guys could see what we're talking about if you sign up for Rockfin. Every time we go on Rockfin, every single time, it's live.
Every time. This happens. Crazy shit. Just goofy shit. We don't even know what's going to happen until it happens.
You're right. We never know. What? Yes.
Of course. I don't know what we're agreeing to, but yeah, I'm for it too.
I clicked go live and then said, do you want to go live? Like minutes later, yeah, I do.
Well, I guess that's why it's not coming up at the currently. One day we'll be professionals. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. It shows we're good.
I see the title now. It was a surprise to me. Baby. It was a surprise to me the whole time. I see the title now. Good grief. Holy smokes.
Okay, so I'm not. Remember we talked about this before and we're like, that's a deep topic.
No, yeah.
And I was debating, do I want to go 2 episodes, 3 episodes? And then I thought, a lot of people just do one. Let's see if I can condense this down into 1 episode. I got a lot of pages and notes. If I don't get through them, I'll just skip ahead, but...
throw them away. We'll just stop in the middle. Cliffhanger. Figure it out yourselves.
Yeah. And the president said... end stream.
That's how they cut off Biden, too.
Hello, Andre. Andre LeBlanc says hi. Welcome. So I'm going to cover MK Ultra. And
finally.
It's not even a conspiracy.
Because it happened.
Yeah, it is true. And it was a highly classified project that was started by Alan Dulles the CIA in 1953. Yes. Well, I believe it was the OSS when this first came about, which was the precursor to the CIA, and then it switched over to CIA. You remember how it was the OSS?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it started because America, so this is kind of funny. It started because America was concerned that their enemies during the Cold War were using, right after Vietnam, right?
The Cold War?
Yeah.
I think so.
Right. So they had men come back, and when they were trying these people for how there's always trials after wars and shit like that.
Yeah.
When they would ask them questions, they would just sit there dumbfounded, just kind of blank stares and shit. And they were like, whoa, the Koreans and the Russians, and they all have mind control. So we were convinced they had mind control. And we said, no, we're going to get this down first. So that's when we started to do the MK Ultra shit. And so Sidney Gottlieb was the head guy, and he was a chemist and a poison expert.
Okay.
And he was also known as the Black Sorcerer.
What? That sounds like Rasputin shit.
Well, it said he was known as the Black Sorcerer in elite circles. So I'm not sure what that means, and how do you know? But anyway, So he set out to create a truth serum, but...
Because we all need that.
Well, I think a lot of people in the government could use that. It ended up being way more difficult than he expected, so he kind of just... He said, you know what, let me switch gears here. So they decided to use psychedelic drugs to torture people, to wipe their mind, to destroy a person's ego. Now, according to this website, tripsitter.com, okay, there's three components of one's ego. The first one is self-image, the second one is self-esteem, and the third is self-identity.
That sounds so, like ancient Greece philosophy. What was it? Logos, and there's like three other things that were part of that whole mind, study of the mind in ancient Greece. I think it was that. Logos, something else.
Yeah, I don't know. What's that? Hermeticism.
The what? Hermeticism.
Is that what it is?
Maybe. Ego and all that. Maybe.
Yeah. So essentially what they're trying to do is just wipe your mind of anything that makes you you. So I found this interesting because I looked up like what is ego basically. Mm-hmm. And I found this. This isn't really, I mean, it kind of goes along with this MK Ultra stuff, but it says biases that arise from ego. Number one, the sunk cost fallacy. You irrationally cling to things that have already cost you something.
Okay. Did you say sunk cost?
Sunk cost fallacy, yeah. So you
concentrate on things that that's already lost value to you, personal or even wealth.
Yeah, like...
You focus on your failures.
I mean, you've already spent the money.
Yeah.
On whatever.
Okay.
So, I don't know, say... Well, I guess I got this from another podcast. So you know who Nate Bargatze is?
Yeah, the comedian?
Yeah, so he has a podcast called Nate Land.
Really?
And one of the guys on there, Aaron Weber, he's also a comedian. He was talking about this time he went to the movies and he just wasn't feeling it. So he left.
Okay.
And he said, they were like, well, you already, you know, why did you do that? Like, you paid to go and then you just left. And he was like, well, it's a sunk cost.
Oh, so he's out of like 10 bucks or whatever the movie ticket cost. And that's it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you already paid for it. Well, why put yourself through any misery if you're not going to enjoy whatever you paid for? Don't force yourself to be there.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, that's the way he described it, and now that's the way I'm thinking. Number two, the spotlight effect. You overestimate how much people notice how you look and act. So you're always concerned, like, oh, my hair's a mess. I bet all these people are laughing at me behind my back, or, you know, like, oh, I got a stain on my shirt. I bet everyone is noticing it. And in reality, nobody gives a shit.
No.
About, well, I don't want to say they don't give a shit about you, but they're too concerned, they're too focused in their own lives to look at you and say, wow, look at that slob. Look at that, you know, he's got a burger grease stain on his shirt.
Right. Because everybody else is focused on themselves in the same fashion. They're like,
exactly, yeah.
My shirt is so wrinkled walking down the hallway of this mall. They're hyper-focused on their own stuff. Oh my God, I got hair out of place. There's an eyelash in my eye.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody see the earwax that is in my ear? I know it's in my ear. I can't scratch my ear because somebody's going to fucking see me. No, they're concerned about their own ear that they're not going to scratch.
Right. Before we started this, my shirt, for whatever reason, has some wrinkles in it. And I was like, oh, I can't wear that. People are going to notice. Nobody, and if they do, who cares?
And that's why I was like, all right, my parents are super loud in the dining room because they're living with me now for reasons. I don't know. You know, Dad's got medical stuff, and that's our life right now. And they're super loud, so I'm like, what can I do? But in our situation is, I record in my bedroom, on my bed, and that's why if you're on Rock Ben, you see me in a goofy-looking blanket fort right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guess what? I don't care. I'm having some fun.
Right.
Recording this podcast. Yeah.
And that's the spotlight effect, buddy. Number three is reactants. You'd rather do the opposite of what someone is trying to make you do.
Mm-hmm. I know people like it's that.
I'm sort of like that at times. You know, my boss tells me to do something one way. I'm like, that's stupid. I'll do it this way, dude.
There's a song about that.
No.
Fuck you. I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you. I won't do what you tell me.
That's it, man. Number four, in-group bias. You unfairly favor those who belong to your group.
You unfavor those who belong to your group.
You unfairly favor those who belong to your group.
Okay. So you would, like, more of a, you would protect them sooner than others. You would go to them sooner than somebody else who might be a little bit more qualified for.
Well, you automatically trust them. Okay. The other person could be far more trustworthy.
Boo.
Just world hypothesis. Your preference for justice makes you presume it exists.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting. Fundamental attribution error. You judge others on their character, but yourself on the situation.
Interesting.
So it's kind of like, why did that asshole do that? But then if you were that asshole, you'd be like, well, they made me do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, well, you know, I didn't eat yet, so that's why I fucking lost my cool and hit somebody with a folding chair. You know, a Hulk Hogan'd him. Thong! Number seven. Don't know what that says. Declinism?
Declinism.
It says, you remember the past as better than it was and expect the future to be worse than it will likely be.
How's declinism spelled? Could it be declinism? Because you're seeing...
It's possible. It's spelled wrong, apparently, according to Microsoft Word here. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
Okay.
Number eight is... I forgot I wasn't saying the numbers. Number eight is negativity bias. You allow negative things to disproportionately influence your thinking.
Those bastards.
Number nine is groupthink. You let the social dynamics of a group situation override the best outcomes.
Ooh, we call those echo chambers.
Mm-hmm. Number 10 is the backfire effect. When some aspect of your core beliefs is challenged, it can cause you to believe even more strongly. And I do believe that happens a lot in the conspiracy world. Well, I mean, in all the world. Politics, conspiracy, just anything. Sports.
Damn.
Number 11, self-serving bias. You believe your failures are due to external factors, yet you're responsible for your successes. So you just... passing the blame on everything.
Yeah.
Well, everything else.
I didn't do that thing because this.
Right.
Feeling sorry for yourself and blaming whatever else.
Yeah. It's never your fault. It's someone else. Number 12, the curse of knowledge. Once you understand something, you presume it to be obvious to everyone.
Huh.
I suffer from this a lot.
I would admit that I have that problem too. Like, of fucking course it's that thing. Come on.
Yeah.
How do you not know that?
Yeah, how do you not know?
Come on.
Like teaching your kids math. You're like, come on, you idiot.
Yeah, but then
I'm kidding.
They'll turn around and hit you with some Common Core, and you're like, what the fuck? You're not even foiling correctly.
there's some weird, I mean, there's some stuff that they teach me.
Yeah.
Seriously. Fourth and fifth graders. Like, whoa, what is that? I don't remember that shit. They didn't teach me that. I didn't even go to college. You know, like, that's some college shit right there. Number 13 is belief bias. If a conclusion supports your existing beliefs, you'll rationalize anything that supports it. Also, conspiracy world.
Yes, yes. That's why it's a good idea to look at all angles on all sides of the aisle from as many perspectives as you can.
Yep. And the last one here.
I'm sure we're guilty as hell of that.
Absolutely. A lot, I'm sure.
Way more than we would admit to. We're admitting to it, but we're probably so guilty, it's just second nature.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why people watch. I mean, it's propaganda, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it leads right into number 14 here, which is confirmation bias, where you favor things that confirm your existing beliefs.
Right. So you found the thing. You're like, aha, look, told you. There's the thing. And then you don't look anymore.
Right.
It's always in the last place you look, right? There it is. I found it. It's in the last place I looked. I'm not going to fucking look for it anymore.
Not looking anymore. Nope. I found what I was looking for. Close the internet browser. Because if I see something that contradicts it, I'll pretend I didn't.
I've probably done that. So, I'm sure I've done that.
We've probably done it for these episodes at times. It wouldn't shock me if I found out that I've done that, where like I just found what I wanted and I was just like, that's it.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly what I was thinking. That was the scientific method. You're digging, you found the results of what you were looking for, and you're like, that's all, we're done. This experiment's over. This is, now I'm going to put it in the article and I'm going to talk about it.
That's it. So those were all biases that arise from ego.
Okay.
And their goal was to just destroy all of it. So all of that stuff, which some of it, fine, you probably do want to wipe it out. But to wipe it out, you got to wipe the person's brain, man, because it's not them anymore.
Right. So that's like all of that builds, like you said, ego, but also is ego and personality pretty much the same thing?
I would say, yeah. I would say
ego, personality.
I would say it's probably exactly the same thing. Because without your ego, what are you? You're a shell. You're a robot, basically. Right. Which is exactly what they wanted.
So they wipe your personality, and now you're just a, like you said, a shell. But damn it, what am I looking for? You're receptive. You're like hyper receptive to any suggestion.
Right. And so what they did was they would load them up with all these drugs, all kinds of drugs.
Yeah.
And then they were repeatedly fed these like mantras and messages and ideas in order to rebuild the ego the way that the, I don't even know if I want to call them scientists. They're just the fucking assholes, the way they wanted it. But so I said they would load them up with drugs, and the drugs that were used to destroy the minds of these test subjects were LSD, opioids, THC, a government created drug that was a super, super powerful hallucinogenic called BZ.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no idea about that one.
So, well, the name, forget it. You got to double the alphabet in order. Like, it's got to be 50 fucking letters long. It's insane.
That's because they didn't want anybody to look for it.
Well, you sure as hell couldn't spell it. I couldn't even tell you how it begins. I forget. My guess is it starts with a B, and there's probably a Z in there. And there's probably one of every other letter, too. There's probably an X in there. There's probably some hieroglyphics in it.
A couple of Qs for no reason.
Yeah.
Roman numerals.
So the BZ, well, LSD would, you would trip for, I don't know, however long you trip. A few hours, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
However it works. But, you know, LSD, but, we talked about the LSD and mass hysteria. Like,
Ergot.
Yeah, Ergot. That's what it was. The dancing, right. Dancing disease.
Yeah, the dancing plague, yeah.
Yeah.
BZ, however, your trip would last, okay, I don't, this is, like, weeks.
What?
Yeah.
That's like, it was, you're living someplace else.
Yeah. It's a super, super powerful hallucinogenic.
What?
Now, I don't know if that means it makes you trip harder, like, where, with LSD, you just go into the next dimension, but BZ, you go like four dimensions over.
God, for a while.
Or if a super hallucinogenic just means it lasts longer, like it stays in your body longer. I'm not sure, but that's, yeah. I mean, BZ was some crazy shit. Gottlieb realized that in order to control someone's mind, you'd have to wipe it first, like we were saying. But he said that once it's wiped, you got to insert a new mind into the void where the old mind was.
What? Okay.
So you don't want to just, I mean, if you leave a vet, you're just going to end up in a mental hospital, right? If you don't get a new mind.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I was thinking of The Matrix when Neo was on the train. And his body was just somewhere else, but his mind was separated from his body.
I do that shit all the time, man.
You did separate your mind from your body?
I'm just sitting at work, and I'm like, just gone. I don't even know where I am. Gone.
Like, is there a difference between zoning out and, well, it's not really a mind wipe, but it seems like your mind is just totally gone. I don't know if you ever drive for super long road trips and you're like, oh shit, I'm already at this point. I don't even remember driving all those other miles.
It'll happen to me on my way to work. I'll just be driving. Next thing I know, I'm on this road or, you know, I'm on this other road. I'm like, when did I get here? What happened? And it's so interesting how your brain works to where it, because it's like a computer, it'll kind of put other things in the background that you don't really need to be too focused on, so we can focus on other things. So that trip, that drive you make every day, that drive to work, that drive home, drive to work, drive home, drive to work, drive home.
Standard.
Sometimes it's just like, yeah, sometimes it's like, yeah, we could literally do this with our eyes closed probably. We don't even need to remember this.
You're autopilot.
So it's clearing literally. The RAM.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I like that.
The mind is crazy. Gottlieb said that drugs could, this is a quote, enhance the ability of individuals to withstand privation, which is I had to look it up, so I don't know if anyone else knows what it is. It's a lack of basic necessities or comforts of life. So it could it could enhance their ability to withstand that.
No, it was like like creature comforts. You come home and you're this is where I put my shoes. And this is where I put my jacket. And that's just the most simple things. And you go sit in your favorite corner of your couch. Creature comforts. I'm going to turn the show maybe on that's, that I love so much. That kind of thing.
Maybe that's why drugs are so rampant in prison. Because the lack of privation. Or not the lack of privation, but because they're... I mean, you got basic necessities, but you don't have any real comforts of life.
No.
So maybe the drugs help to withstand the privation of prison.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It could also help them withstand torture and coercion, as well as produce amnesia, shock, and confusion. So that's Mr. Gottlieb there.
Very interesting. So, does a person get wiped? Like, the hard drive is hard wiped and there's nothing left, or is there, can there be a reset?
Well, I've seen people who get on drugs and real hard on them.
Okay.
And they turn, they're a completely different person.
On at that point.
After, even after, they're just not who they used to be. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's the whole, like, the mind saying, like, give me more. And then their whole life is just surrounded by that. So maybe they haven't, so not necessarily changed as a person, but maybe they've, maybe just their, the rest of their existence is trying to get more however they can.
Or if they're,
you know,
or if they're recovering and they completely, they're not using anymore. They're clean, and but they're still a different person. Do you think they're constantly fighting that negativity, keeping away from it? Like, okay, they're, they're in their mind. What the fuck is the phrase that I'm looking for?
Like it's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle for the rest of your life, a lifelong battle.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what
they,
you mean?
They know if they turn right on this street, there's a very good chance that they're going to start tumbling down that drug rabbit hole again. But if they just stay the course and go walk right past that temptation, it's a constant battle to stay away from the temptation. So does that, do you think that produces a new personality then?
I think the constant bombardment of your brain with drugs, I mean, they say, what is the saying? Synapses that fire together, wire together. Isn't that what it is?
Oh, I don't know. That's a fun phrase. That one good.
So if you're constantly doing something, then your brain, that's what muscle memory. Muscle memory is not a thing. It's your brain being wired, rewired to make that just natural to you. It's not muscle memory. It's brain power. But maybe just the constant act of lying, cheating, thievery, you know, just sneaking around to do whatever drug it is, it fucks with your brain. And you keep doing it, and then those synapses that fire together, wire together, and then next thing you know, even if you get off, not all the time, but sometimes, you know, you're just not what you used to be. You could probably change and go back to it, but it's going to be work.
Yeah.
You're going to have to work at it.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Oh, shit.
So I don't think they're entirely wrong in saying bombard these people with drugs, wipe their minds, and then we just hammer them with what we want. You know, kill JFK, whatever, you know? Like,
huh. They're hyper-receptive to suggestion, and you suggest to do that thing, and they are like, yes, mm-hmm, I want this.
Well,
it just go.
Maybe it's because they're kind of in another world. Maybe you're just saying things to them, and they don't even know you're saying it. You know what I mean? Because they're off in dimension four.
And so it's like a inception. They start to believe it's their idea.
Yeah, we'll get into it later, but that's a yeah.
That's crazy.
So MKUltra also sought to find, this is a quote here, materials which will cause the victim to age faster or slower in maturity. Another one is substance which will promote illogical thinking and impulsiveness to the point where the recipient would be discredited in public.
What? So
now it sounds to me like the UFO shit from the past. So make them out to be crazy lunatics, and then they'll be discredited by most of the population, who would call them a tinfoil hat wearing maniac. And then, you know, like, this also comes up a little later, to just make them go crazy to the point where nobody's going to believe them. It doesn't matter what you say. They're not going to, you could be telling them the sky is blue,
Right.
And then people just won't believe him because, well, that's the guy who said the government drugged him.
So then people have too much. That person is now black sheep, untrustworthy.
So in order to keep secrecy, partly because they didn't want other countries to know, but also due to the fact that they were conducting these heinous acts against other humans, which it goes against the Nuremberg code. They spread their experiments out over, they had 162 experiments, what? Which they spread across. That's not like doses. So like there was a case of a mental patient in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Got dosed with LSD for, I believe it was 173 days in a row.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Isn't that trip like almost a half a day? I'm talking like 12 hours, 10, 12 hours. Like, isn't it something like that? It's multiple hours, though.
I believe so. LSD is... So DMT is a short trip, I believe. I believe it's a short... They didn't use DMT. I'm making a comparison. I believe DMT is a short one.
Because it's 2 weeks.
And LSD... You know, we make DMT in our body? In our brains? Yeah.
How do we do that? How do you make it... Can you wake it up naturally? Like, a dopamine is... Well, you play the app Candy Crush or any app that makes you feel good instantly.
Well,
and then some just people, a touch of dopamine is released. And then you do something that you're happy about, dopamine's released. How do you release DMT?
I'm not really sure, but some people believe that the fact that we make DMT is the reason why near-death experiences are a thing.
Oh.
So you almost die. You said, I saw a light. I saw my grandmother. She was telling me to come on. I saw this, I saw that, and people were like, he was just tripping, man. His brain, poof, let out a bunch of DMT. He tripped balls for a minute, and then we brought him back.
Whoa. Okay.
And same thing for people who say they saw hell. It's because maybe that was the last thing they were thinking about, or whatever. Poof, it lets out a burst of DMT, and that's what happens.
Well, shit. Okay.
No, I don't subscribe to that. It's possible. Maybe when we're dreaming, maybe more DMT is being released.
And but, it's just fun dreams.
Yeah.
Lucid dreaming. Or, like, so,
or crazy ones.
Yeah, they're crazy. So what about... we're not going down that road, but I wonder if when you do lucid dreaming and you control what's happening in the dream, it's really a DMT release... I have no idea at all about that. But I mean, I'm just speculating, brainstorming. That you're now in control of your dream, but it's just this hyper trip.
I really don't know. Maybe. So they spread their experiments out across multiple cities, college campuses, hospitals, and prisons, and there was 185 researchers that were involved, and many of them didn't even know that they were doing anything for the CIA. So it kind of reminds me of when the atom bomb was built.
Oh, okay.
Because they use a ton of different contractors to build just these small components all over the place, and then they would have them shipped in and assembled.
Okay.
Most of them had no clue what the finished product was going to be.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm just building a fin here.
Right.
I'm building a nose cone for something. I don't know what this is.
That's fascinating shit.
They
got some raw materials from this one or that one.
Yeah. Just super, super compartmentalize everything to the point where nobody knows what's going on except for five guys up top.
Damn. That's crazy, man. I love it.
It is crazy.
That's what it's not. It's just a tiny, tiny example of that. But when Tony Stark was in the cave and he was building all the different pieces for the original suit that he did in the cave. And he made all the pieces look like they were something totally different.
Oh, yeah, when he was over, what, in the Middle East or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just right. A tiny example. It just made me think of that. Like, it was a sleight of hand kind of thing.
Yeah, well, he was, like, the guy up top and also the little companies, like, just building little right, things, right. And then you assemble it, and next thing you know, you got a Megazord. Or whatever, you know. all these sites did basically the same thing: load the victim up with a certain amount of drugs and attempt to wipe the mind. At times, the victim would be this is crazy. They would be administered two drugs with opposing effects in order to see what would happen. For example, they would do a barbiturate in one arm, and then go to the other arm. Hello, amphetamines. Just let it just fuck it. This is like some weird Unit 731 shit.
Holy, yeah, it is. It's like a tornado of craziness in your body.
Right. It's wild. And then just to see what would happen. Now, I'm a little bit torn on some of this stuff because it's like, it is good information to know. But how are you going to find out if you don't try it?
Yeah, the unit, like you said, the Unit 731 stuff. We got a lot of information from those experiments because we were like, yeah, we're gonna. So you don't want to be tried for those war crimes? Okay, give us the results of those experiments that you did.
Right.
But this was all single country on these people. Crazy. Oh my god, it's. MK Ultra was such a wild thing, and it actually happened. This is not conspiracy theory. This is true facts.
Yeah. Oh my god, we are far into this already. Okay. And I am not far through my notes.
you want a break? I mean, we're into it.
Yeah. Let's take a break. I got to go fix the toilet. My daughter told me she overflowed it.
Oh my god.
I'll be back in Just a minute. I got the best plunger in the world.
Daughter got big poops. Or lots of toilet paper.
Probably lots of toilet paper.
All right.
All right. Let's take a break and I'll be right back.
All right. Here we go. Back into it. This is exactly what you expected, isn't it? You knew what to expect.
Me?
Yeah.
The people.
The people. They knew what to expect. Something. After the break, they're like, okay. It's going to be words. This is my creature comfort. I'm waiting for the words.
Mm-hmm. All right, so
you're halfway down the first page of your 8 pages of notes.
I'm on page 3.
Oh, good.
And there's 7 pages.
Yeah, well, like you said, if we get through them, we get through them. If we don't, we don't.
Yeah, I might have to skip ahead. Who knows, but... Before the break, I told you about how they would do the barbiturate in one arm, amphetamine in the other arm, just to see what would happen.
Yep, we have a bitchin' tornado happening around in your bloodstream and in your body and your brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they would also see what someone under the influence of LSD... Well, they would give them alcohol first, I guess, and then LSD... To see if that would affect the trip or see if that would do anything.
Okay.
So that's just another weird thing they would do. They also tried to hypnotize the victims. I'm calling them victims because I've heard some people call them patients, and I don't think they're patients. I think they're victims of this.
Yes, they were probably... I wonder who they were... Before, were they just some college student that was looking for extra cash, and they said, "Hey, you could be part of this experiment. Sign this paper."
I'll tell you a little bit later who some of them are.
Okay,
and you're gonna know them.
What?
You're gonna know them.
No,
not personally. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Your dad was around this time, and, right? When did, I mean, he was in the Korean War, right?
Yeah, which was, I think there's, he was in a Korean conflict, and there's some conflict. I haven't looked it up. There's some conflict as to when that actually happened. I'm pretty sure it was after Vietnam. I don't know what the years of Vietnam were, but as soon as he finished high school, he got his draft papers.
So maybe they experimented on him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But another type of experiment came in the form of torture. So they would do electroconvulsive therapy, which was the administration of electric current to the brain through electrodes placed on the head in order to induce seizure activity.
Induce seizure activity.
Yeah, it's actually used. It actually really is used. I don't know if they continued. They might still use it today.
Okay.
But it's used to treat certain psychiatric disorders like severe depression.
Depression?
Yeah, I'm not really sure how. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I'm not really sure how it works. But they use it to treat that, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how it worked either. Because if you... I did not know there was some sort of benefit to a seizure. Or is just like a pre-seizure maybe?
Well, I don't, it says to induce seizure activity.
Okay. So you're looking for the effects post-seizure? I don't know. Like you would you take a pain reliever? Did you know one of the side effects? I'm sure I've said it on at least 5 different episodes. One of the additional effects of ibuprofen, you could experience tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. So if you want ringing in the ears, that's an effect you can get from taking ibuprofen. You could lose some pain and get ringing in the ears. Congratulations.
Sweet.
Right? So
that's what I had when I had my ring light turned on. I had a ringing in my ears. But that was just some sort of electro current. I don't know.
Yeah.
What word am I looking for here?
It was like... some sort
interference.
Of, yeah.
Electrical interference.
Into your
That's
brain.
That's what it is. Yeah. So but not by so the government. Well, maybe.
What?
I was going to say, not by the government. And then I said, well, maybe. I don't know. They could be.
Could be. They influenced your hand to reach over and click that on.
We got kind of a lot of people watching us right now.
How about that?
I wonder how many are CIA. If you're CIA, you got to say it. You got to put it in the chat because otherwise it's entrapment, right?
Is it? It's a public forum.
I don't fucking know, dude.
Like I said before, let the FBI listen. More listeners, right? Come on.
I'm down with it, man. Pass it to the higher ups. Everybody listen. Come on.
Now, do the FBI listeners have FBI listeners? That's the question.
Who watches the watchers, man? You know, that's the thing.
Right. But anyway, with the electrical shock to their brain to induce seizures, were they looking for, wanted to produce a certain effect?
I think.
Or induce a certain effect. They knew that there was an effect, and they just wanted to induce it.
Maybe they just wanted to see what it would do if you did it to just a normal person.
That'd be a hell of a thing to sign up for.
Because, well, only a few people signed up.
Well, voluntarily?
Most people, it was not volunteer. It was, you're going to do this.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll keep going.
Aural. Aural? I don't know.
Yeah, so
stimulation.
Hearing. So listening.
Okay. Yeah, so aural... I don't even know how to fucking say it.
Yeah, that's right.
Aural stimulation. So I was looking for a definition of aural stimulation, and I couldn't even really find anything. So I assume it has something to do with stimulating the ears to create certain auditory environments, like not ASMR, but something like that may be more nefarious.
Okay, yeah.
I guess, like I don't know, like that was...
The brown noise. Supposedly, if you play a sound low enough, you'd poop your pants.
Exactly like the brown noise.
Yeah, that's the oral stimulation. And that's also how you ask for a sexual favor in Russia. Oral. I need oral.
That sounds like you're from Alabama. Hey, baby, let me get some oral. Oh, that's doing an oral change.
Oh, boy.
Got to change your oral. And they would also, another form of torture is they would use paralytic drugs. And I don't think I have to explain that. I think we all know what a paralytic drug would be. Mm-hmm. It would paralyze you.
Right.
Gottlieb's tests were never, ever under scrutiny by anyone else in the CIA. So he just basically got free rein to just do whatever he wanted without any limitations or restrictions.
Did you say Dulles was involved in this?
Yeah, Dulles started it. He was the one who basically signed off on it.
So
Gottlieb got put in charge.
So Dulles is like, all right, you got free rein. Here you go, buddy.
Yeah.
Just like and Eisenhower gave J-12 the whole thing. Is it J-12? Majestic 12. MJ-12.
MJ-12, yeah. I was like, J-12, who's that?
You know, the stuff that happened a week after J-6.
I think Gottlieb was Swedish, from Swedish defense.
But they're fucking neutral. They can't be this guy.
Well, I mean, he was from Sweden. Then he came over here and was like, hey, now I get to do all of my experiments, you know? Like, instead of being a serial killer in Sweden, he came over here and he got to just fuck everybody up.
Wow. It was government-sanctioned serial killer. Torturer.
Yeah. So there was a guy, I believe he was a doctor, Dr. Donald Cameron.
Okay.
He was actually, he was actually part of setting up the Nuremberg Code.
This seems like a conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah. So after that, he decided he was just going to start drugging patients. He would play tapes of noises or suggestions repeatedly while the subject just laid comatose. And he says he was trying to correct schizophrenia by erasing the individual's mind. Which doesn't sound... It sounds crazy, but it doesn't sound too crazy. You know, if you got four people in here, erase it, you get rid of everybody, make a new one, you know?
So okay, you got a couple personalities hanging out in there. Reset. Clear the RAM.
Evict them all. Yeah. Evict them all. Get new tenants. Preferably just one. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
or you'll create another one that has now protected all of them.
Maybe. But you got fucking John Cena up there protecting all the other ones.
Well, did you see the M. Night Shyamalan movie? Split. That's what it was, Split.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like that. One is just like super human, and then the other ones are meek women.
Yeah, it took a while for us to watch that. We didn't watch it when it first came out, but it was good. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch all three of them?
No. No.
Why?
Only Split.
What? Why?
I mean, I might have seen, what was the other one? Unbreakable and Glass.
Yeah.
See, I might have seen Unbreakable, I don't know, like 40 fucking years ago when it came out.
On tape.
Is that when it, was it on VHS?
Yeah, I had it on VHS.
Was it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I might have seen that, but it's been so long, I couldn't tell you if it was Bruce Willis or Tom Hanks. I don't fucking know. I'm just kidding, I know who it is. So what really happened to these patients was they would just remain comatose for months. So his plan was to just make them comatose, talk to them for a little while, play these tapes, and then change them. But he fucked them up. They were comatose for months, and then they would wake up suffering from incontinence and amnesia. And, I mean, they just got really fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
John C. Lilly was also involved with this, and he created the first sensory deprivation tank. And cool. MK Ultra's, yeah, real cool. I want to try one really, really bad. I really want to try one.
Yeah.
Now more but not this way. Actually, I wouldn't mind trying it this way. Just see what would happen. They would load a subject up on LSD and then put them in the sensory deprivation tank just to see how they reacted without any influence from the outside world. Just their minds on an acid trip.
Wow. If I knew there was no other effects besides just going on this crazy dreamscape, you know, not getting addicted to it, and I don't know what else happens with LSD besides just this intense dream. I mean, that sounds crazy. I want to try a deprivation tank, but
yeah, I don't think you get addicted to LSD.
No, is that how it works?
Maybe, I don't know. I could be wrong. So many of the subjects we were talking about, many of the subjects were unaware of their participation in a classified program.
Mm-hmm.
And Gottlieb himself said this, that they would target people who could not fight back. So that included drug addicted prisoners, sex workers, as well as terminal cancer patients. They would just target these people.
Oh my God.
You frozen? Oh no. Where'd you go? You there? Oh. All right, it looks like Will froze up. I don't know if I should keep going. Give him a minute. He's frozen. Oh. Yo, there you are.
There he is. I was like, totally lost the internet.
Uh-oh.
So the last thing I heard, and it was like legit cliffhanger. So Gottlieb said this, and then you froze.
So Gottlieb said they would target, this is a quote, people who could not fight back. And then they would target people who could not fight back.
Okay.
And that included drug addicted prisoners, sex workers, as well as terminal cancer patients. Go after these people. This is so fucked up. Some of them were volunteers.
College
students. Yes. Usually college. Most of them were. But others were just plain drug addicts. And all they had to do was to talk them into doing it was just the promise of more drugs. And they were like, yeah, I'll sign up. Fuck it.
Done.
Why not? Yeah.
But isn't it starting... That seems like a bad experiment. You're already starting with something broken, and now you're going to just break it more?
Well, I don't know if I'd call a drug addict broken. I mean, I don't know if...
But they're already addled in some way. They're already...
That's true. You're not starting... You're not... I mean, you don't even know... There's no real control there. Because you don't know how long they've been using... What they've been using, then you don't know like where's their mind at now,
right?
Versus where it's going to be, yeah. But I mean, if you're trying something new, if you're just trying to wipe out a mind, do you really give a shit?
No, that's true.
So, so some documented test subjects. Remember, I told you I was going to tell you about some that you're going to know.
Yes, go on.
I think his name is Ken Casey or Kessie. He wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes. That was a good ass book.
Robert Hunter, who was a lyricist and I believe guitar player for the Grateful Dead.
What?
James Whitey Bulger. I don't know if you know him, but he was a notorious Boston mob boss.
Really?
Yeah. So Kessie or Casey, I really don't know how to say it. He was an early volunteer who joined while he was a student at Stanford University. And his acid tests, as he called them, basically he would offer LSD to fellow... They would also test on him. But he would offer the LSD to fellow college students at parties just to see how it affected their perception and mood. So he was a test subject, as well as handing it out. I mean, it's spreading all over campus. Yeah. But he apparently had a great time with the program because he even later went on promoting LSD, like saying how awesome it is and it should be legal and you should, you know. Yeah. But most of the participants did not have as good a time as Casey.
And then he wrote the book out of it.
Yeah, he actually said that, well, no, maybe he didn't say that. He either said it or it speculated that that book had to do with his experience there. I've never read it. It was also a movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I never saw the movie either, so I'm not sure how it correlates to what could have possibly happened, but it's speculated, or he did say that it is derived from his experience with MKUltra.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, Whitey Bulger, he was arrested, and I think it was in Atlanta. He was in prison. And he was offered a lighter sentence if he joined the program. He was dosed with LSD more than 50 times, according to him. God. And so after being released from prison, he went back to jail for numerous accounts of murder. And he believed he was led to do the murders by the doctors because they would repeatedly ask him during these... while he was under the influence of LSD, if he would ever kill anyone. Would you ever kill? Would you ever kill anyone? Would you ever murder? And he gets out and he just fucking...
Whoa.
Rampage. You know, kills people. Here's one you might know. Theodore Kaczynski.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the Unabomber. Ted Kaczynski.
Oh my god.
Now, this one is not for sure, but it's believed that he was. I don't have a lot of information on this. I know he was part of... So, he went to Harvard. That's where he went to college.
Okay.
And it was right around the same time. He was part of experiments, but they don't know for sure if it was MKUltra. But it's said that his theory on technology being an attack on humanity arrived from the experiments conducted on him.
What?
Right. I still want to read that manifesto, but I'm too afraid to download it. I'm afraid the fucking the government will come knocking on my door. What, are you gonna build a bomb?
Go connect to the Wi-Fi at work.
Great idea. Yeah, I work at a refinery. Great. good Lord. People also say Charles Manson was a participant in the program. Well, so it was later discovered that Manson had people tied to the CIA in his circle. I think the LSD was called Sunshine. I think it was. Ooh, it was it was a kind of LSD, and he would just load his followers up with LSD. Just a steady flow of LSD, just kept them tripping. And he had ties to the CIA, and you know what happened. So it's possible that they were all involved in it. Maybe...
The family.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the family. Maybe Charles Manson wasn't a test subject, but maybe he was involved maybe he was like, all right, yeah, I mean, you can use my group here, my family, but I'm out. I'll just give it to him. You know, I'll take some here and there because, you know, who doesn't like a little LSD trip, you know what I'm saying?
You got to try it, probably. But
I'm going to I'll load them up, and then we'll just, we'll say, hey, you know what? I really don't like that Shannon Tate lady. And then see what happens, right? It was Shannon Tate, right?
Sharon.
Yeah, why did I say Shannon?
I don't know. It's close.
Yeah. Well, I really don't like her. And then next thing you know, they're just on a rampage in Hollywood.
Ain't no mo.
So this is when, I mean, not when it gets fucked up, but now it starts. Gottlieb was a maniac, it seems like. He wanted to see how this shit would work on just a normal person, a quote-unquote normal person. So he began secretly drugging CIA operatives themselves. Just secretly dosing them with LSD.
What?
Yeah. So he did it for over a decade, just dosing CIA operatives. Just, you know, they were squirting it. It got to a point where they were having fun with it. They would be squirting it in each other's coffee, and then as soon as they like took a drink, and then they were like, "How you feeling, buddy?" We're like, "What the fuck? The walls are melting!" And they're like, "I gotcha." You know, it was crazy. But one of the real popular ones was Frank Olson.
Okay.
And he was an army scientist, and they were on, I think it was a retreat or something with the CIA, I believe. But anyway, they secretly dosed him. I think I don't know if it was in his coffee or what, but eventually it led to him jumping out of a 13-story window to his death.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he lost it. Well, now, did he jump or was he pushed? Hard to say when it comes to CIA shit. You know what I mean? Like, I know they're typically super, super trustworthy.
The CIA?
Yeah, the CIA. You can trust them. But people who survived the experiments would have to deal with depression and tardigrade amnesia, which is the inability to create new memories, and retrograde amnesia, which is the inability to recall old memories.
What?
I know, that's crazy. I didn't even know there were two different ones, but there's one where you can remember everything before, you just can't create new memories. Like, whatever happens today, you'll fucking forget tomorrow. Or maybe not tomorrow, but...
Is that what the movie Memento was about?
I was thinking 50 First Dates. You ever see that?
No, I've never actually seen that. Is that good?
Well, I don't know if it's any good. I keep watching these stupid compilation videos on YouTube, and it's called like videos I found on Reddit.
Okay.
And it's just a bunch of goofy videos, but there's one guy that I always see, and he looks like one of the characters from that movie who's a complete fucking dope. It's funny. It cracks me up. And my wife thinks the same thing. She was like, yeah, that does remind her of him. But so in that movie, she can't make new memories. So he meets her and he's like, damn, that girl's cool. You know, I can't wait to see her tomorrow. Then they're like, oh, she's not going to remember today, tomorrow. So he has to keep doing, he's got to like try to make her fall in love with him every single day.
So that's why it's called 50 First Dates.
Right, because it's a new experience every day.
It's crazy.
Now, I don't know if that is tardigrade amnesia or if it's just some goofy premise for a movie or if that's literally what tardigrade amnesia is. And I could be saying that wrong, too, tardigrade, but... If that is how that works, that is bizarro, dude. Can you imagine?
I wondered if there's a point where you kind of you click in every once in a while, like you have no idea that the last 1,000 days happened or whatever the case may be, And then suddenly you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, oh, damn, that's a lot of gray. There's a lot of wrinkles. And then the next day, it's gone again. Then you wake up and look at yourself again. Same thing every day.
I don't know. What are you talking about? I got a thing that says my internet connection is unstable. What's that? It's fucking CIA, man.
It's all unstable. You told them to listen. Everybody listening.
Yeah.
They're breaking in.
They would also, the survivors would also have to deal with paralysis, withdrawal, confusion, disorientation, pain, insomnia, and a schizophrenic-like mental state, which I'm not quite sure what that means. I would say you're either schizophrenic or you're not.
But, a little bit schizo.
I mean, what is a schizophrenic-like mental state? I don't...
So you just have some characteristics of schizo, but not quite. Schizo-light?
Yeah, that's it. Schizo-light. What is happening?
And now you are back.
Yeah, what? I don't know what's going on.
It's like I said, they're tapping in, man. You called it MK Ultra, so everybody, they're tapping in.
That's true. I didn't even sugarcoat it. I'm like, I'm calling them out. All right, let's see if we can continue or not.
Finish.
Where are we at? Oh shit, yeah. Ooh. Well, I got to tell you about Operation Midnight Climax.
All right.
This is weird.
That's when you suddenly are in the mood, and then.
It's a wet dream.
Okay.
It's the middle of the night. You wake up. You're like, oh shit!
It happened.
All right. So this happened primarily in San Francisco, I believe, possibly New York as well. The CIA set up fake brothels. And
all right.
Yeah. Operation Midnight Climax is going to start making a little more sense as we go. Yeah.
The CIA agents invented pimps.
No, they didn't invent them. They were just like, hey, let's utilize this shit to our advantage. You know what I'm saying? So they would dress up a female. Well, I don't know if it was. I think it was a female CIA agent. Possibly male. I don't know. It didn't really say, I don't think. And they would act as prostitutes. I'm going to say prostitute. I'm not going to say a sex worker because I'm just going to say it. I don't care. Come at me, bro.
You're going to get a left hook.
Well, by what? By who?
Left people.
Oh, whoa, yeah. And they would proposition men on the streets. And then once they got their Johns... they would take them back to the brothel, and inside, the CIA prostitute would administer a dose of LSD or some other psychedelic.
That's nice.
And then, or he, don't know.
I'm sure.
We don't judge. The CIA prostitute would then leave the room, either say she had to go to the bathroom or whatever. And other CIA officials would then watch the John through a two-way mirror to study the effects.
Whoa.
Now, they're CIA officials. They're CIA operatives. They're officers. I don't know what you call them. They're not scientists.
They're just guys?
They're just guys watching through a two-way mirror, like watching some dude trip balls on LSD.
And taking notes.
Yeah. Well, they weren't even taking notes. These fucks were drunk. Half the time they were drinking cocktails behind the two-way mirror. Just the CIA is a frat. It's a fraternity. I'm telling you, it's just a bunch of douchebags. I don't get... Watch, the internet is going to be like... It's a bunch of douchebags. Just, they don't have to answer to anybody except the fucking president. That's literally it. The president, and that's it. And our president can't even fucking talk.
Oh,
so they don't have to answer to anything. Anyway, so the reason that they did it like this was so when it was all over, this quote-unquote John wouldn't go out and explain what happened to him if he found out, because that would tell everyone that he hired a prostitute.
Oh, holy shit.
So, yeah, so it puts this guy in a bind, because he's like, well, I don't want to tell my friends and family I had a prostitute, so how am I going to say that the government fucking gave me LSD?
And they're like, and he gets home and his significant other's just like, the CIA, what the fuck are you talking about, John? Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, his name is actually John? Oh, <yeah. laughs> She's like, I know you were out last night with some lady. I'm like, no, the CIA gave me LSD and made me trip balls and I don't know. And she's like, come on, seriously?
I saw people on the other side of the mirror, I'm telling you.
Really? On the other side of the mirror, John? Oh, crazy shit. All right, so let's...
Want to do a part two?
Well, no, I don't have enough for a part two. Well, anyway, so after Watergate in 1973, CIA director Richard Helms ordered, because he got scared as shit, so he ordered that all MKUltra documents be destroyed, because he didn't want people finding out.
Yeah.
And in 1975, President Gerald Ford commissioned an investigation into the CIA, because he's like, I don't know about this. There were two committees that were in charge of the investigation, and it was the Church Committee of the U.S. Congress and the Rockefeller Commission.
Oh, I don't know
if you remember that. I don't, yeah. The investigation revealed that Helms had destroyed, now I don't know how, destroyed nearly all evidence of MKUltra, but they found, I've seen 8,000, I've seen 15,000, 30,000 documents were discovered in some financial building. I don't know if it was misplaced or what, but they were like financial records and shit, so... And they were discovered in, I think it was 1977. And when the news of this went public, survivors just started suing the fucking CIA. You know, they're like, all right, finally, like, here's some proof. And by 1992, 77 of these participants had received settlements from the government.
What?
Yeah, so many others were denied, because it was difficult to prove that they were part of it, but still, 77 of them basically won.
Yeah.
I know they got real damage from it, but it's kind of proof that the government was like, yeah, my bad, here you go. The government doesn't deny that this took place, but the real mystery is what actually happened. So we don't know the depths of what all took place, and like what were on the documents that got destroyed that we didn't get a chance to read.
Yeah, really. This is fucking insane. It happened. This happened.
Yeah. The CIA insists that it ended, too.
Did it, though? Did it?
We've said it before, and we'll say it, I'm sure, many, many more times throughout the life of this podcast. If they got any sort of results at all from this, they would not stop. It doesn't matter if they got caught. They just rebrand it. I don't know, Project Monarch, perhaps. People believe that is rebranded MKUltra. And what is a monarch? It's a new version of a caterpillar. MKUltra made a cocoon, and it emerged as Project Monarch.
And that's part two, right?
That was, well, I kind of thought about it, but I got a link here of 15 famous people that were allegedly part of it, but that's just all pop culture. You can find that on any Listverse. But that's it. That's all I got.
Holy crap.
I rushed to the end there, but...
Yeah, I know. We're at an hour and a half.
Recording. I know, yeah. Yeah. But...
Man,
that's it, man.
But hey, should you want MKUltra victims to contact us?
Yeah. Fuck yeah, dude.
Like on a place called podchaser.com/ring on the weird? Mm-hmm. You leave 5 stars and, hey, tell us your MK Ultra experience or LSD experience. Wouldn't that be crazy? Somebody just described a trip.
Yeah. I want to see a visual representation of somebody's trip.
Call up the CIA. Probably give
I'm sure they can
give those tapes out, right?
Yeah.
They're on Betamax. Apple Podcasts, search Bring on the Weird. You can tell us your experience there, too. Leave us 5 stars and tell us your LSD experience or your MK Ultra experience. You ever been shocked in the brain? They do.
I haven't.
No? Or you have, and they wiped it.
Well, that's possible. They were trying to wipe this fucking episode. They've been trying to wipe it since we started.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Both of us.
Bastards.
With our own internet problems.
We should come up with a MK Ultra design for our merch.
Oh, merch has been going crazy on the TeePublic.
Yeah. TeePublic must be having a good sale. Go to TeePublic.com and search Bring on a Weird. You can go to MyConspiracy.com/Bring on a Weird or Zazzle.com/store/Bring on a Weird.
That's right. That's the other one. I said, that's the other one. I was trying to think of, I had a brain fart about our merch stores the other day. Like, it's on that one. It's on TeePublic. It's on My Conspiracy Tees. And I see it. It's been driving me crazy.
I haven't even checked My Conspiracy Tees. Who knows? They might have taken us off 6 months ago, and we're just still promoting them.
But the Stages of Hunger shirts or merch on TeePublic has been going crazy, dude. I can't believe it.
I know.
But anyway, stay weird, world.
Yeah, and we'll see you guys next time.